All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And let me remind you what the Lord Jesus told his disciples on the eve of the crucifixion. They were troubled in their hearts because he was talking about leaving them. And they were concerned about that. And so he tells them in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, let's all read it together. I will, all right, that's everybody. Ready? All right. I will come. There you go. So here's the promise. The Lord Jesus, right out of his mouth, he says that he is coming again. Now, he came the first time as the Lamb of God. All right. The Lamb of God. You remember when John the Baptist saw the Lord walking towards him, he pointed the Lord Jesus out, had everyone in the crowd look at him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So all of those Old Testament lambs, all they did was make a covering for sin. They did not take away sin. Okay? And so that's the first Advent, or the first coming of the Lord Jesus into this world. And so just after he dies on the cross in Acts chapter 1, we see the Lord ascending up to heaven to take a seat at the right hand of the Father, where he makes intercession for the saints. And that's where he is today. All right. So I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus says that he will one day come again. Now, he hasn't come yet. I wish he would hurry. I'll be honest with you. How many of you would like that to happen? Sure. Man, I wish he'd hurry. I wish he'd come right now. But we got to, no man knows the day nor the hour, so we just have to pray that his coming is soon and realize that the promise has been made and he is indeed coming. So all throughout the scriptures, and I have showed you this many, many times through the years, but all throughout the scriptures, going all the way back to the first mention of the gospel in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, after Adam sinned and God promised Adam that he was going to send the Redeemer himself, his son. So from Genesis 3:15 on, we have promise after promise after promise that God was going to send himself in the form of his son to redeem us back to the Father through this everlasting salvation that he would make available. But then the promise continues with the promise of a second return advent. He is coming back again. And that's what the one that we're waiting on right now. The Apostle Paul calls this our blessed hope. That's good to know, isn't it? It's our blessed hope. The world doesn't have anything to hope in, but hey, we do. We do. Our blessed hope is that we're going to see our Savior in the clouds one of these days, and we're going to go up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So right now, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So that's our blessed hope, and we can find comfort in knowing that the Lord Jesus is indeed coming again. Now, there is no doubt that the Apostle Paul saw the importance, as well as Peter and as well as John, but there's no doubt that the Apostle Paul saw the importance of the New Testament church having a clear and specific understanding of the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. Paul spends much time discussing that and telling us that Jesus is coming again and tells us how it's all going to happen. And so I think that all of the New Testament writers made sure that we understood that the doctrine of the second coming of Christ is one of the fundamental doctrines of Scripture. You must believe that. It's fundamental to our faith. You say, well, Pastor, what makes it so fundamental? Well, because over 300 times, well over 300 times, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit tell us that Jesus is coming again. Now, if he does not come, then the Holy Spirit and the Bible and the Savior are lying. And that cannot be. That's what Paul told Titus, that it is impossible for the God of heaven to lie. All right, so that's why it's a fundamental. And the second coming of Christ has been one of the doctrines that the devil has fought against and done his very best to destroy, trying to get folks to get confused or to realize that there's no way to know for sure that this is happening. I mean, all kinds of lies have been spread by the devil. But folks, the Bible's clear. Again, over 300 times, the second coming of the Lord Jesus to this earth is mentioned in the New Testament alone. So, either Jesus is coming again, or the Bible is false. And I can tell you right now, the Bible is not false. All right? It's not false. Sadly, though, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ is a fundamental doctrine. It is a cardinal doctrine that, to the shame and confusion of the church, is generally ignored and really very often abused by those who claim to know what the Word of God says. Now, I think that I believe this with all my heart, that most preachers today, in our world today, handle the doctrine of the second coming in one of three ways. You say, what do you mean? Well, first, there are multitudes of quote-unquote preachers, reverends, who deny the second coming of Christ. They just flat out deny it. I have ridden in the funeral home car with Methodist preachers and Church of God preachers and charismatic preachers. I've gotten in the car with them. They work for the funeral home or whatever, and so they know that I independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist preacher. They know that. They know that. And so it'll get quiet, and then one of them will say, so you're an independent Baptist, huh? Yep, I am. Well, I guess you believe the Bible's inspired. Yes, I do. Don't you? I mean, I just point blank turn it back on them. Yeah, I do. Don't you? And, I guess you believe that Jesus resurrected from the grave. Amen. You don't? How can you not believe that? That's all through the Bible. Yeah. Well, normally the conversation dies right there. But I've had a couple of the other ones that have said to me something like this. Well, now, are you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Are you premillennial or amillennial or postmillennial? And one time I looked at one of them, I said, you can't even spell the word millennium, can you? And he started laughing. He said, probably not. He said, but what are you? I said, I am a pre-tribulation rapturist. In other words, I believe that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation period, pre-tribulation. And so, so there are a lot of folks, though, who deny simply say that they do not believe, they deny that the second coming of Christ is real. They just cannot grasp it. And I don't know personally how anyone can read the Bible and not understand that Jesus is coming again. I just don't understand that. But nonetheless, being a fundamental doctrine of the Scriptures, of course the devil is going to confuse people about the Lord's second coming. But folks, don't get confused on it. It's not complicated. I have spent hours upon hours upon hours teaching you clear-cut Bible eschatology. And I believe that all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the doctrine of the second coming is clearly explained to us. But most preachers do not speak of it hardly at all. And that is due to the fact that they simply do not believe that Jesus is coming again. So number one, deny. But then there's a second approach. There are multitudes of people who, number two, delay the coming of Christ. Take your Bible for just a moment and go back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. And let me show you what the Lord Jesus had to say about the matter of delaying the coming. All right, look at chapter 24, I'm sorry. Well, you can look at both of them. They're both good. All right, look at 24. Now look, please, over at verse 40. Let's see, where am I? Right there. Let's start at verse 42. He said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. All right, now watch. But know this. All right, so this is something that we ought to pay attention to, because the Lord Jesus said, we should know this. All right, so here it is. Here's what we ought to know. That if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also, what's the next word? ready. You should be looking for the Lord's return. You should be anxious about it, excited about it. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, wouldn't you want to know what the Lord Jesus meant there? Huh? Now, you know that he wouldn't have said that if it weren't so. But, you know, you read that and you say, for in such an hour as ye think not. Huh. Wonder what kind of hour that would be. Huh? All right, read on. Read on. I'm trying to get you to think. Read on. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Now, that's not dough season. That's due season. All right. Verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Now watch. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord, what's the next word? Delayeth his coming. You see, the Lord warned us about these folks who would delay the second coming of Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, that simply means that there are these people who, although they have the same Bible that we have, they have the same Bible, and they have the same Holy Spirit who lives in their hearts. They have the same Holy Spirit that guides them in the truth. But nonetheless, they go around teaching and preaching this mid-tribulation stuff or this post-tribulation stuff. Oh, the Lord's not coming back until after the tribulation period. Why, everybody knows that with the church in the condition that it's in, the Lord Jesus has to judge the church. Really? He has to? I'm pretty sure my Bible says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but man, I'm excited for the fact that the Lord is going to take us out before the wrath and judgment of the tribulation period is poured out upon this earth. I mean, why delay? Why would you even want to do that? But there are folks that they just cannot believe. And this goes right along with a bunch of other stuff that folks can't believe. For example, that once you trust Jesus as your Savior, you are eternally secure. Oh, but what if you sin? No, not what if. When you sin. And when you and I sin, well, we offend our Savior, and we are children of God. And just like when your little ones offended you by disobeying you, and you pulled out the rod of chastisement, or if you didn't, you should have. You say, well, the state doesn't like that. God does. God says that it works. And I pulled out the rod on all three of mine. I think they turned out fairly well. Well, there's one I'm worried about, but he's got a bunch of teenagers down in Alexandria, Virginia tonight. No, I'm joking, of course, sort of. But you see the point, right? Oh, if you sin, you lose your salvation. Show me that. Show me that. You see, I can show you where my Bible says that I have everlasting life. I mean, the very moment that I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and trust Him as my Savior, all of my sin debt is paid for. And it is cast into the depths of the sea. That's what the Bible says. My sins are gone. They're gone. You say, well, where do they go? Who cares where they go? They're gone. Amen. And then in another place, our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. Now, I know I've explained that to you many, many times, but there might be some new folks here. Listen, if I start right here tonight and I go due north, you with me? And I keep walking, and eventually I'm going to get up to the North Pole, and I'm no longer going to be going north. I'm going to be going south. And if I keep walking, I will eventually get to where I'm going north again. But if you start here and you go west, you with me? You go west. No matter how far you walk, you're always going west. So our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west, not the north to the south. You can measure that distance, but you can't measure the distance between the east and the west. Solves that dilemma, doesn't it? Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. That's what the little children's song says. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. So the heretical ideas that folks come up with about the second coming of Christ. And number one, you can deny it. Number two, they try to delay it. And the Lord Jesus said, when you hear somebody say that the Lord delayeth his coming, the Lord said, don't you believe it for a minute. Don't believe it, because everything's right on schedule, folks. I will promise you everything's right on schedule. And there are folks who say that that the Lord is not going to come back until after the 7 years of tribulation, and that the church is going to have to go through the tribulation. Wrong. That's just not right. I mean, I don't know how you read the Bible and come up with some of this stuff. I mean, these folks, some of them delay the Lord's coming for 3.5 years, and then others for 7 years. And then there are those who say that we are in the millennium right now. There is absolutely no way that's true. No way. If we're in the millennium right now, that means that you could take a lamb and lay it down beside of a lion, and that lion's going to wake up and not see dinner. I'm That means that you can take a pit viper and you can walk over and scratch it on top of its head and it'll just sit there and smile at you. We're not in the millennium, folks. We're not in the millennium. You do that stuff during the millennium, but you're not going to do it now. And you know, it's really funny, these people who say they believe that the church has to go through judgment and wrath, it's really funny, you can't get a one of them to go scratch a rattlesnake on top of the head. You know? Strange, isn't it? I told you all what Dr. Smith did. Did I tell you all what Dr. Smith did? You know that guy that wrote that book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 1988. Remember that book he put out? Remember that? The Lord didn't come in 1988. So he wrote another book, 99 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1999. And so Doc Smith wrote him a note and said, wrote him a letter and said, if you believe that, I want you to draw up a contract and leave all of your radio stations and all of your buildings and all of your books and Bibles and everything else that you have collected through the years for your ministry and sign it over to the sword of the Lord. No, he didn't do that. And you know, in 1999, Jesus didn't return. And you know why? Because no man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. So these folks will tell you that we're in the millennium now. Oh, no. No. No, the millennium is not going to be anything like this. This is mass chaos is what this is. So biblically, this stuff makes no sense. And then there's a third way folks look at. You got deny, you got delay, but then number three, debauch. Debauch. I don't know why people just don't read the Bible and believe it. You know, just read the Bible and believe it. You hear people make all kinds of claims about the second coming and none of it's found anywhere in Scripture. None of it. You know, but most of the time, what they're trying to do is pad their own pockets. You know, they're trying to enrich themselves at the altar of foolish people. And it's just not right. But nonetheless, that's what happens. Now, let me just introduce to you where I want to go with this thought, and I want to start tonight for just a couple of minutes here that we have left, and next Wednesday night, and I want to discuss with you the must of Christ's return to this earth. Folks, he has to come back. He's not done yet. Okay? He's not done yet. So he's got to come back. And I told you before that in the Old Testament, there are all these prophecies about our Lord's second coming. Much more about the second coming than about the first. Much more. As a matter of fact, three times more about the second coming in the Old Testament than about the first coming. Okay? That's how important this doctrine is. Now, why would it be so important? Because what we learn through this Old Testament is God has a plan. God has a plan. That's what this book's all about. This book reveals the plan of God. And if you know your Bible, you know that the Lord Jesus had to come the first time to die on the cross for our sin. He had to. We had to have a Redeemer. We had to have one. But while the Old Testament was telling us about the first advent, and it's clear, Isaiah going to be born of a virgin. All right? I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And when Mary was pregnant, the angel shows up and says, that baby you're carrying shall be great. His name shall be called Emmanuel. Well, they all knew Isaiah. They knew it frontwards and backwards. Mary knew that she was giving birth to the Messiah. She knew that. She knew she had not had relations with a man. She knew that. And that child was conceived of the Holy Ghost. She knew that. So you got all this about the first advent, but wait a minute, all of it came true, didn't it? Every bit of what was prophesied back here in the Old Testament about the first advent, everything came true exactly as it was foretold. Huh. What do you know about that? Hey, you're not going to read that in the newspaper. That is not going to be on Fox News at the top of the hour. Now, they don't want you to even think about that. But every prophecy about the first coming of Christ was fulfilled to the T. Amen. Now, we got three times more talking about the second coming. Now, if all these doctrines, if all these prophecies about the first advent came true, without error, without mistake, why would anybody think that what was said about the second advent is not going to be true as well? Of course it is. It's the Word of God. It is God unveiling His plan. And so He must come back to this earth. And next Wednesday night, I'll show you why. Okay? All right, everybody got that? All right, good. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we come now and ask you to bless your word to our hearts. Oh, how we thank you so much for all these wonderful prophecies. And we're excited about the fact that we're living in an age where the Lord Jesus said, when you start to see all these things happen, well, we're seeing them happen today. We are seeing them happen. The Lord Jesus said, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. So, Father, we're excited about the times in which we live. Help us not to get weary in well-doing, but to get excited about the promise that Jesus is coming again. Bless your word now, in Christ's name, amen.